Welcome back, everyone, to another episode of Design Biz Survival Guide, a podcast about life and business for interior design professionals. I'm your host, Rick Campos. I want to take a moment to thank you. Thank you for listening to the podcast, and thank you for supporting us on social media. If you're listening to this podcast, more than likely, you've visited our website. For those of you that are new to podcasting, this tends to be the easiest way to access each episode without the use of complicated apps. For those of you who love your apps and mobile downloads, I'm happy to report that the podcast is now available on iTunes. The iTunes platform offers a whole other layer of convenience and notifications that many of you may already be used to. It also allows you, the listener, to rate the podcast using a 5-star scale of excellence. If you're listening on iTunes and you like what you hear, please take a moment and submit your 5-star rating to show your support. Now on with the show. Today, we welcome Denise Morrison of Denise Morrison Interiors. Denise specializes in new construction residential interior design and has recently added a retail component to her design business called House of Morrison. If you're thinking about adding a new stream of revenue to your design business concept, this is the episode for you. We discuss online versus brick and mortar, private label, and specialized marketing. So let's get started. Today I have with me Miss Denise Morrison of Denise Morrison Interiors. Thank you for joining us on the podcast.
Thank you for having me.
You're very welcome. We're excited to have you. Thanks. And thank you for seeing me so early in the morning.
You do what you got to do, right?
You do what you got to do. We are dedicated to the cause.
Absolutely.
So thank you. I appreciate it. Denise, can you start by telling us a little bit about yourself and your business?
Okay. I am just a lover of all things beautiful and art and design, and started my business about 20 years ago. And then just really just took a few jobs here and there. I was raising my children kind of part-time, but people would always ask me because I had built a couple homes and they kind of saw what I did. Would you help me? Would you help me? And for a long time it was a no because I have 4 sons. And then as they got older, I realized I'm so passionate about this. I think I'm going to take this more seriously. Launched my business and then really just it grew. And then recently opened our retail store, House of Morrison, and our online store as well. So
you have grown.
I have grown, yes.
By leaps and bounds.
Yes.
How exciting.
Thank you.
Have you always been here in Orange County? For our listeners that are not Southern California, we're in beautiful Orange County, California, mm-hmm. Newport Beach.
Mm-hmm. So I've always been based out of Orange County, although I've done jobs all over the country based on, you know, if someone has a second home or... But primarily, it's my work is here or in Los Angeles.
Perfect. Yeah. Perfect. So you said you built a couple of homes first, and that kind of, is that where you got the bug, the design bug?
I would say so. I really must confess, so all my life, I've really been an artist at heart. And in college, I got my degree in communications, but pretty much lived in the art, you know, art building. And every extra class was always about art. So I think that when I built my own homes and kind of started designing, I realized like design of a home is almost like drawing a piece of art, but you're doing it, you know, constructing something. And I absolutely loved it. I just absolutely loved the details and the whole aspect of building. I think construction is where my strongest design suit is all the details of construction. I absolutely love.
What's kind of your sweet spot? Do you specialize primarily in new construction and remodel, or do you just kind of run the gamut?
So earlier in my career as a designer, I have always really focused in on construction. All my jobs basically had some level of construction as well as moving, you know, through. And really at this juncture in my career, we pretty much only do full construction with, you know, down to, you know, tiles and silverware. I mean, we do full installations for our clients. And I think that's really where my heart lies. I have a team that really supports in all aspects, but I would say my love is the building side of things and looking at the ceiling details and looking at the all the ways the construction aspect comes together. I find it just fascinating.
So you're not afraid of a little construction?
Not at all. Bring me to a good job site. I love it.
You love the job site.
Absolutely.
Yes, I love the job site too. So can you tell us a little bit about your team?
Absolutely. So we have about 12 people on our team. We have two project coordinators that really handle a lot of client relationship things, any follow-up. We have four designers that work with me on all our projects. We have a director of operations, a warehouse manager. I'm forgetting somebody, but we have a full team of people that really really work in harmony. It's really a nice group of people. I love them. They're wonderful.
You've got your own village.
I do. Excellent. I have a little village.
Mm-hmm. It does take a village indeed. Yep. So Denise, one of my favorite questions to ask, and one of my my signature question to ask, I suppose, is what would you say is the secret to your survival? The whole podcast kind of revolves around design professionals like yourself who have been in the industry, who have been there, done that, and who are willing to share and be a part of the podcast and speak to the design community. I call it survival. Mm-hmm. I really mean success, but okay. It sounds funner when you say what's the secret to your survival, especially if you're in this industry, you get it.
Okay.
But what would you say is your secret to survival?
So my secret to survival, I would say, is being willing to put some boundaries to what jobs you'll take and kind of the pace of your workload. I'm very aware that I don't want to burn my team out, and I really want to give true valued attention to all my jobs. So I'm not afraid to say, I can't take your job for 6 weeks, 8 weeks, we're booked out. Mm-hmm. And be willing to let go if somebody isn't able to fit that timeline, because I know that I think my reputation is built on giving great customer service. If I am not thoughtful about how I take jobs, that will decline. And so I think as a cornerstone to my success is being willing to say no.
That is such a great answer.
I want to be able to give great attention to all my clients. And if we start losing that ability, we won't be able to continue growing and being successful.
I think every designer can relate to that. I'm sure every designer can relate to that. And we've all been there where you just kind of say yes to everything and right. You get caught up in the moment. You don't want to say no. You want to be grateful for every opportunity that comes your way. But there does come a point where you have to pace yourself.
Yeah.
And you have to know your limitations, not only your own, but your team's, mm-hmm. in order to provide ultimately that service that you're truly known for.
Yeah.
That's the lasting impression, is that balance and that level of service that you bring to the client, right? And
sure.
So in order to achieve that balance and get it right, sometimes you kind of have to say no or not right now.
You have to be willing to say, I might not get this job because I can't fit it right now, and they mm-hmm. want right now. But I will say, this hasn't always been true. I mean, this has been, for a new designer, I said yes a lot.
Of course.
When I was early in my career. I've been able to build to a place where I'm so grateful I'm able to say, this is a great fit for us, and let's fit this in our mix. Mm-hmm.
And every now and again, you probably slip. We all do.
For sure. For sure. Well, I will say, any existing client that we have done work for over, you know, the last 20 years, mm-hmm. I don't really care if it's a lampshade or, you know, they're doing a full remodel or whatever. They are very valued to me, and they fit in. They are my top priority. I always take care of my existing clients. I call them part of my little family. And so if you've already been one of my clients, I have clients that I'm working on job number five. Project number five, because I want that relationship to continue.
I'm so glad you said that, because no one's talked about that before. And I say it all the time when I do a lecture at IDI, and I talk about basically a client for life.
Yeah.
And we all have them. Uh-huh. And you're right. And I'm sure every designer can relate to this that is listening, that we do have those clients. And once you're a client for life. And no matter what it is, mm-hmm. we drop whatever we're doing to make sure that they're taken care of. It's a lampshade, it's a rug, there's a snag in the rug, there's a pillow, there's a spill, there's something. Mm-hmm. That is the exception for sure.
And that's why I have two project coordinators.
Right.
Because I personally can't always manage all those things, but I mm-hmm. want my clients to know that we're here for them. And yes. anything that comes up, I will take care of it.
And those people are an extension of you.
Yeah.
Absolutely. Has a lot to do with what mm-hmm. I do on a day-to-day as well.
Yeah.
And so I can definitely relate to that. And it's funny, I know the value of it firsthand, but I've never really talked about it.
Okay. I think it's super important. Those are your best, I think the people that know you and have worked with you, they're the best, like, advertisement, I guess you'd say, mm-hmm. for your work.
Yeah.
And they will talk about not only your designs. I think if you have great design, but you have terrible customer service, you will never succeed in this business. So it I think it's all encompassing. It has to go all together.
For sure. And, you know, we say jokingly that there's so much psychology involved, but there is. There really is. You know, you have to be able to have that balance and be relatable and be able to communicate and really kind of understand the client. It's a delicate process, the design process, the home building process. It can be vulnerable for the client.
It's so true.
And we have to be there to support them.
Absolutely. I even tell I tell my team, I say, you know, we're going to be in people's closets, their bathrooms. This is really personal stuff. Mm-hmm. So one, you know, big rule I have is we never speak about a client ever outside of, you know, a job site meeting or perhaps, you know, needed team discussion for the design process. Because I think it's so important that if someone's willing to let you in their home and really discuss personal things and how they live, they need to be able to do it with confidence that we're just keeping that private.
They need to be protected.
Sure.
For sure. Denise, can you tell us a little bit about the retail concept that you've introduced into your business? Because it's very exciting to me and I want listeners to hear more about it.
So I always thought it would be a great extension of my design business to have a retail store. I was using showrooms a lot to have people sit on things, to see things, touch things. And as I continued to grow, I realized how much I would love to be able to take people to a store that represented things I had produced and be able to have them sit on them, see them. And it seemed like a really natural extension. So we're having our 1 year anniversary this month.
Wow, actually,
yes. So I guess it was about January of last year that this all came to light, and that the center that I'd always thought would be just a great place to do this had a space available. So not really terribly planned, it came to fruition, and it's been quite a whirlwind of a year. It's been fun and hard and just exciting, just everything, all emotions. It's been great.
Right. It's such a great space.
Thank you.
Now, do you produce a lot of your work from this space? Does this also act as a studio for you as well?
So we actually have design studios off-site. I have a huge 14,000 square foot warehouse in Santa Ana. It's in a very industrial area. It's not fancy. And then we have our design studio there where most of our designers and project coordinators, our operation director, everybody works out of there.
Okay.
But we do most of our presentations here at the store just because it's such a pretty environment. And
Absolutely.
Also people can, again, like sit down on the sofa. How do you like this down fill, or do you like more of this type of fill? So it works really well in presentations.
Yeah, definitely. You have a beautiful presentation laid out right now.
Thank you.
Quite nice.
Thanks.
And it's probably nice to have that separation of space because it can get a little chaotic and disorganized. Mm-hmm. So the Santa Ana space is where all the creativity happens and probably where the mess is.
Sample bomb. It's a sample bomb in there, yes.
In our studio, we have the downstairs. And we have like a loft area upstairs. It's not huge, but that's where our resource library is. And as much as we try to keep it as tidy as possible, you know what happens in the moment when you're designing and when you're developing a look. And it is. It's like a bomb went off. And then, you know, we spend the greater part of the next day cleaning it up.
Yeah.
But it's nice to have that separation.
Yeah. Oh, it's so important. That's part of the reason I don't like to see clients there because it's a creative space.
If they really saw what it takes.
Yeah. Yeah. It's messy.
It's a little messy, but it ends up very pretty and organized.
It does.
Much like your space here. So congratulations.
Thank you. Thank you so much. Yeah.
So another one of my signature questions.
Okay.
What is the one thing that you know now that you wish you knew then?
I think I'm a little bit repeating on the design development side from when I early in my career, it would have been that willingness to say no when you needed to pass on a job, be willing to do that and not be afraid. Because I think we're all afraid to say no, like, will I get another job? I remember literally thinking that. I say no, maybe I won't have another job, and that would be such a disappointment, right?
Right.
But more recently, I would say with the launching of the retail store, I have learned so much, and that's the thing I would share with that is I thought I was going to open this retail showroom, call the vendors and say, yay, I'm opening a retail showroom, and I'm going to just have all your product in here, and let's get going, and got a big fat, I don't think so. love you and appreciate your design your design, you know, efforts and such, but that would not fit for their locale because maybe they were already represented somewhere. So I quickly learned that opening a retail store isn't just about, oh, I'm going to go buy whatever I want now to showcase in my store. It really, in hindsight, I would have done a lot more research on what vendors could I have before signing the lease.
Because some of those vendors were represented in other retail spaces in the area, so they didn't want to kind of overlap or compete with those people. See, that's an interesting side of the industry that we normally wouldn't bother to get involved in, because we as designers just kind of go out and buy whatever we want from wherever we can, and we doesn't matter where we can get it from as long as we can get it, and we pretty much always can get it.
Sure.
But I guess what we don't realize as designers is how that comes to fruition and how these product lines land in these showrooms.
And they're very coveted, and those relationships are very important, and I respect them actually, and I appreciate that the lines that I do have, they're protecting me as well. But I really just didn't know that aspect of retail, and that was a little remiss on my part. And that's been probably my biggest learning curve, was how to create a beautiful environment with maybe some lines that I wasn't usually using, you know, and kind of curating some new product lines that were different for me, because the ones I normally might have chosen were already represented elsewhere.
So you had to explore a little.
Yeah.
That's exciting.
It was actually kind of a great... It was kind of a great curveball in that I had always wanted to do my own line of furnishings, especially upholstery and some case goods. And I had a lot of designs that I had just had, you know, over the years, just kind of things I wished I'd had ability to produce, or maybe I'd done a custom piece for a job. So I decided that it was time. So in conjunction with launching the store, I found a vendor that would produce my designs, did my own private label collection. So now we have our own home exclusives that are only available through House of Morrison.
Which is great.
Yeah. And so what was kind of like a little bit of a challenge actually became a blessing. And the designs so far that I've created have been so well received, and we've had a tremendous success with that line. So I really just see that growing, and it's something, even today I'm going to Los Angeles to work on designing some new product.
That's great. That's great, because you get it kind of extends your ownership of your designs.
Yeah.
Like you said, you make a chair, you love it. It works that one time. You want to do it over and over again. And now that it's a part of your line, you can do it over and over again.
True.
It's got your name on it.
And, and people can sit here. And I also love that you can't get it anywhere else.
Right.
You know, it's only if you love that design, it's only available here. And I love that. And I've really worked hard since we've opened. I've launched. We have our own candle line. We have our own bedding and linens line. Beautiful Belgium linen sheets and duvets that I source directly from Belgium that I think are amazing. Most recently, we're adding this beautiful line of cutting boards, which sounds kind of funny, but they're so unique. They're like 5 feet long, live-edged in hickory and in various exotic woods that I think are fantastic. So I'm kind of looking all the time for places that I might add to our own private collection. I think it's a nice way to grow, especially in the retail space.
I'm a little jealous because as a designer, and I'm sure before you open the store, we shop, we look, we see things that we love. And unfortunately, we have to kind of limit ourselves to, that's a beautiful piece. What project can I use it in? Now you can just bring it into the store.
Oh. It's so creative.
You can have whatever you want.
Fantastic. I can just go, I've been really wanting to do something like that. And I just literally sketch it up, because I particularly feel like I resonate with other designers that do shop here at the store. We have a really nice amount of trade people that shop here. And I feel like when I design something that's maybe a tiny bit outside the box, your traditional retail customer may not get it, but our designers, they love it.
We get it.
You guys get it. And I love that. And I'll even tell sometimes my team, I'll say, I know that this may be a hard sell for just somebody walking in, but I promise you the designers will get this, and they're going to be like, yes, let's put this on our job.
So with the store, adding the retail space to your business concept, can we talk a little bit about how you marketed it and how it changed maybe your approach to maybe your website and just kind of social media and general marketing? Because I'm sure it added a whole new level and promoting the store was probably different than promoting your design services to potential clients.
Yes, I immediately realized in opening the store wherein I didn't feel like I needed to promote as much with Denise Morrison Interiors, because I felt like it really had its own legs because of referrals, and I felt like the pace of my growth was nice, and I liked it, and it worked. But with the launch of the store, I knew I had to take it up a notch. So one of my first hires was a full-time marketing person who has done an amazing job of just, I mean, we have, their marketing is like an area I spend a lot of time on with them, but we do blogs, we launched our online store, which is a continuing evolving, it's like a second store really. And I look at it often because I want it to be merchandise like I would do the store. Mm-hmm. We talk a lot about, I don't want it to just have product. I want every product on that website to be something I would use.
Yes.
So that the aesthetic is very consistent between all three avenues, Denise Morrison Interiors, House of Morrison, and then the online.
Right.
I feel like a client that maybe comes in the store and likes the aesthetic, they could go online and it's very curated to be similar, and you could pick things that you know would go together. And
they can shop at 2 a.m.
They could shop at 2 a.m. Yeah. It's been a really, again, it's a whole different, really business model.
Sure.
But super fun and exciting. Yeah. And then, so Emily is, works really hard on all of those things. So we have Instagram goes every day. We have Insta stories that go nearly every day. We have blog posts that go out twice a month. We have editorial pieces that she helps with. Brand. It's a lot of stuff that she does.
We love her a lot.
She does so much. Then, because we were really kind of overwhelmed, we hired a second marketing person who just adds to the layering. We have events here at the store. About every 6 weeks, we promote, things that we think are interesting for our shoppers. We've done macrame classes. We've had artist receptions.
I love macrame.
It's the best.
I miss that one.
People,
can we do a do-over?
Yes, and we've had several ask for that. You're invited. that's been really fun. We've done a calligraphy class. We've done just different things, different little workshops, I think, that connect us with the community,
right?
And let us know our customer a little better and make them feel really comfortable shopping here and coming here and trusting us that we're going to, you know, take care of them.
Yeah.
So.
And so the store has its own website, or is an extension of your interior design website? I know that you can link to it from your mm-hmm. design website, but.
So they are separate websites. HouseOfMorrison.com is really representative of just the store, but then links to design.
Got it.
So they link back and forth, mm-hmm. but because Denise Morrison Interiors really is, I'll just call it our luxury brand, mm-hmm. it really focuses in on new construction and that client. And House of Morrison, I feel like, has a really broader appeal.
Yes.
We separated them.
Great.
I think it just worked from a branding standpoint.
Mm-hmm. And your Instagram is beautiful.
Thank you.
Yeah,
thank
you. It's beautiful. So we'll be sure and put links at the end of the show so awesome. That everyone knows how to get to your website, both of them.
Thank you.
As well as the Instagram.
Sure.
So Denise, how would you say, I think that it's really important for design professionals like you and I and everyone who has been in this business for a little while. We've launched businesses, we've experienced this industry from all directions, and I think that it's important to give back.
Mm-hmm.
Which is one of the things that prompted this podcast to me, and there's other things that I do as well. And the more I talk to designers, I hear that they feel the same way, and I like it when they share that. So what would you say, how do you pay it forward to the design community? How do you give back, and how is that important to you?
It's really important to me, actually. I have connected with a couple different charities over the years, and I'm always willing and open to help if somebody comes to see me about, you know, we're doing a special event and would you help contribute something. Most often it's yes. So I have, you know, supported Mission Hospital, which is a local hospital here, Miracles for Kids. But probably one of my favorite things we did, because it was so connected to the design world, was I opened my warehouse to a bunch of students, And they came in because they were helping to furnish homes for Habitat for Humanity. And so I have, as most of us do, you know, those leftover rolls of fabric. I had just accessories that had come and collected and just never really gotten anywhere, and all kinds of, we had all kinds of leftover stuff that really, with a creative leaning and somebody who was trying to stretch a budget, they were thrilled. So they came in, raided all my stuff, and then used it in various ways. They're so clever. They used, you know, fabrics and all kinds of different things to help furnish Habitat for Humanity home. There were several of them, actually, and it was really rewarding. Another way I love to give word is in that I have always loved working with young people that are new to the business, and welcomed a lot of interns in and out of our business. And I love that I still keep in contact with them. Some of them have gone on to really enjoy design careers.
And that's got to be exciting to see.
Super exciting. Yeah. And actually, some have learned it's not for me, you know, and that's okay too.
Sure.
But I still value them, and I love those relationships and helping them figure out what their path is. Sometimes you don't, you think you know as an intern what you want to do, and you're just learning. And I find that fun and exciting.
That's excellent. That's incredible. I mean, there's a lot of what I call emergent design professionals that listen to the podcast.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of young designers who are new, and hopefully plenty of designers like you and I that have been in the business for a while, and just like hearing other people's stories.
Sure.
But that's probably one of my favorite questions to ask, because I always love the answers. I'm kind of right there with you when it comes to giving back. I can't say no.
Right. No, it feels really good. It feels really good to share my. I have learned a lot over all these years of doing this, and to be able to help a young person who's just getting started to say, don't do that.
Right.
Maybe don't do that. You know, you're going to be sorry. Learn from my mistake here, but I'll help you go this way.
Just a teensy bit of advice.
Yeah, teensy bit of advice on that one.
That's great. Yeah. Well, Denise, I want to thank you a million times for agreeing to be a part of the podcast.
Thank you for
having
me.
I'm so glad that you came on board and that you shared your wonderful insight. Can you just really quickly just tell us your website addresses one more time, and how to see you on Instagram, and I'll be sure and post those on the notes as well.
Okay. So for our design firm, it's denisemorrisoninteriors.com, and for the retail store, it's houseofmorrison.com, and on Instagram, it's dminteriors and house_of_Morrison.
Excellent. And then for the retail space for us local Southern California, Orange County people.
Yes.
You are in the beautiful West Cliff Plaza on 17th Street in Costa Mesa.
Sure.
And so anyone visiting the area should definitely come and see you. And
absolutely.
For the locals.
Yeah.
For sure.
I would love that. That would be amazing.
Excellent. Thanks again so much.
Thank you.
I love how Denise describes herself as an artist at heart, and that she expresses her talent through interior design. We're all artists at heart, and we're so fortunate to have the support and the wherewithal to pursue our passion and impact the lives of others through design. One of the things that really stood out to me when speaking with Denise is her ability to balance the complexities of her business model. She's developed a team of trustworthy people to act as an extension of her and to keep all the plates spinning. The reality is, we can only be in one place at a time, and there are only so many hours in a day. Every time your business grows, your time as a leader is further divided. Be mindful of expansion and make sure your strategy includes reliable people to support it. I also appreciate Denise's multifaceted approach to launching the retail space. Not only is it an accessible extension of her brand for consumers, it is also a resource for fellow design professionals. Her support of local charities and the student design community warmed my heart and further reinforced why we do what we do. For a link to Denise's website, visit our webpage, designbizsurvivalguide.com. While you're there, click the link to your favorite social media platform and follow us for daily inspiration and updates on upcoming episodes. You can also join our email list for announcements and special promotions. Thank you for listening.